Would you take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 20, if you would. Acts chapter 20. I'm going to preach a message that does really not have anything directly to do with Veterans Day. You could tie a lot of connections to it if you like to, and you might see some of those. But I want to get a message across that I think will be very helpful for you. Last week, we started a series on the blood of Jesus Christ. And today, I want to preach this message, the blood of Christ justifies. The blood of Christ justifies. Last week I introduced the topic and I preached a short message about how the blood of Christ cleanses us from our sins. I want you to see this morning how the blood of Christ justifies. I'm excited as we preach through this series that each message points back to salvation. Each message points back to our Savior and what He did for us to pay the price for our sins. And I'm excited to be able to preach this message this morning. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, the Bible says this, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." Now that part was written to the leaders of the church, pastors of the church. But I want you to see what he says about the church. "Overseers to feed the church of God," notice this next phrase, "which He hath purchased with His own blood." I'll read this to you. You don't have to turn there. Romans chapter 3, 23, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You know that verse. But the very next verse, Romans 3, 24, the Bible says, "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ." The question I'm going to ask this morning and then hopefully help you to be able to answer is this: are you justified? Are you justified? Romans 3:25, "Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood." Romans 3:26, the Bible says, "To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just, the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." Are you justified this morning? I'll help you answer that here in just a moment. Romans 5:9, this was our memory verse last week, "Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." I want you to imagine with me this morning several scenarios. The first is this. Would you imagine this morning standing before God and being required to answer for all of your sins? This is a scary thing to imagine, but would you go with me there for just a moment? You're standing before God, and He is demanding that you answer for your sins. The piercing light of His holiness drives you to your knees in humiliation and shame. Imagine this morning with me having to answer for every lie you've ever told. Not to me or not to another person, but to God. Imagine having to admit to every sinful, lustful thought that you've ever had. Imagine God accusing you of stealing or hating or murdering and you knowing that you're guilty of every charge. Just picture that for just a moment. What an awful scenario. What a terrible place to stand before God, being guilty, knowing that you're guilty, and God being holy, and God charging you for every sin that you committed, and every single one having to say, guilty. Now imagine another scenario with me this morning. Imagine standing not too far from the cross where Jesus Christ, the perfect, righteous Son of God. Imagine standing not too far from the cross where He's being crucified in your place. A little bit of a different scenario, but could you imagine this? The cross is there. Jesus Christ is upon the cross. You're close enough to hear what people are saying at the cross, yet far enough away not to draw attention to yourself. You're standing at the cross. You're looking up at the Savior. Understand a few things. First of all, understand, He's never sinned. He was arrested. He was falsely accused of doing wrong. His judges couldn't find anything wrong with Him. In fact, His judge tried to free Him at one point. Even the chief soldier on the scene of the crucifixion said this, "Surely this man was the Son of God," and you hear all of that conversation. As you look toward the cross, you can see a crown of thorns that has been beaten into the flesh on His head. You see that His beard has been ripped from His face. Lacerations cover his body from head to toe, from the torturous cat of nine tails that he endured. Nails driven through his hands and through his feet hold him to the wood of the cross. And as you look, you see he's lost so much blood that it's amazing that he's even still alive. He's struggling to breathe as his weight pulls against the nails that are in his hand. That's what's holding him up, except for the nails at his feet, which he can push on to get a breath. He pushes himself up on those nails that are at his feet. And remember, you're standing there at the foot of the cross. He looks right at you and he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." A short while later, he shouts. The Bible says he says with a loud voice, "It is finished." And then he dies. Here's the amazing thing as you're standing there. He died thinking about you. He carried to the cross the punishment of every sin that every person would ever commit. He knew who you would be, and he knew what you would do before he went to that cross. Jesus Christ sacrificed himself so that you and I could be, here's the word, justified before God. What an amazing scenario. The first scenario, standing before God being guilty of sin, is an awful scenario. I don't even want to consider that scenario. Do you know how guilty and dirty and awful a person is going to feel? How guilty we would feel if we had to stand before God with the weight of our sin and the guilt of our sin on our record, because He is a holy, perfect God. The scenario, standing at the cross, picturing Jesus there. Now, the fact that you and I weren't there doesn't mean it didn't happen. It happened just like the Bible says it happened. And Jesus looked into the future and he saw my sin and he saw your sin. And when he was on the cross, he died for our sins. That's why he came to this earth. That's why he went to the cross. He did that to justify you. The Bible says much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. The word justification is a legal term. It means the one who was guilty is now free from all guilty charges. It means there is no more need for punishment. It means the guilty person is not only free to go, but they can live without any of the charges ever being placed on their record. Justification is not probation. Justification is not plea deal. Justification is when the judge says, you are not only free to go, but you are righteous. You are not guilty. In fact, when I look at your record, I don't just not see the crime. I see the goodness of all the others on your record. What an amazing thought justification is. Justification happens when God declares a guilty sinner to be righteous and free from guilt and punishment. Justification. It's an amazing word. An easy way to remember what it means and an easy way to bring it to mind. Just if I'd. That's the short version, justified. But think about this. When God looks at you and he says justified, it's just as if I'd never sinned. It's just as if I'd never lied. It's just as if I'd never stolen. Just as if I'd never had a sinful thought. Just as if I'd never murdered. Just as if, now this is a crazy thought, but this is justified. Just as if I had died on Calvary. Galatians 2:20 teaches, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless, I live. In the court, the judge determines what the punishment and what the method of payback will be. The criminal has no right to decide what his punishment would be. We would think that crazy. If a criminal got to choose his own punishment, that doesn't make any sense at all. If a criminal got to choose what he had to do to make restitution or reconciliation, that wouldn't make sense. Now, a lot of things in our world don't make sense, and there may be some levels of things that don't make sense that happen all around us, but think about this for a moment. If I am guilty of a crime, I have no right to stand before the judge and say, "Judge, I am guilty, but this is what I'm going to pay, this is my punishment, and this is how I'm going to make it right." No, I don't have that right. The one that has that right is the judge. God's the one who determines what a sinful person must do to make restitution. See, as a sinner, and that's what I am, that's what you are, we were all born into this earth as sinful people. We are all sinners. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And as a sinner, I have no right to stand before God and say, "Okay, God, I am guilty of sin, so here's what I will do to pay for my sin. Here's what I will do to make reconciliation. Here's what I will do to pay back all the wrong that I have done." I have no right as a sinner to stand before a holy God and say, "Here is what I will do. Here's my plan." You have no right to do that either, because we're all sinners. But God is the one who was sinned against. So He's the one who has the right to prescribe the method of justification. How to make this sinful person, or how to get him justified. So why have sinful people always tried to determine how they can get to heaven when they die? This is an amazing question. Why is it that all throughout history, sinful people just like you and me are making up our own way to get to heaven? We're making up our own way to be justified. Instead of just saying to God, "God, you are the one who was sinned against. What is it that you require of me?" The Bible calls that the plan of salvation. But so many of us sinful people, we're making up our own ways to be justified by maybe earning our way. See, sinful man has convinced himself that God's method is just too easy. God's method is very simple. Here's God's method for justification. We are sinners. So God sent His Son, Jesus Christ. He lived a perfect life. And while He lived that perfect life, He was God and a man at the same time. He went to the cross. He willingly gave up His life. He paid for all sins in our place. And He says, "If you will accept what I offer, if you will accept my free gift of forgiveness, if you'll accept my free gift of eternal life," He said, "I will give that to you." He offers justification as a free gift. That's how simple God's plan is. But man says, "No, that plan is too easy. It's got to be more difficult than that." The truth is that man has sinned against a holy God who has determined that a man can be justified only when he accepts Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. It doesn't really matter what you and I think about it. We're the criminals. We're the guilty ones. We are the ones who have sinned. And when God says in the Bible, "This is what you must do to be saved," that's all we can do. We can't make up our own rules. Man's justification is based on Jesus Christ's merits. Man cannot stand, you and I cannot stand in God's presence or enter heaven unless something changes the guilty verdict to a righteous verdict. If I was to stand before God, that scenario I gave you right at the beginning, if I was to stand before God on my own as a sinful man, I'd be standing before God guilty of all my sin, and so would you. That's what I deserve. And as a sinful man and a sinful woman, that's what we all deserve. And something has to change that guilty verdict to a righteous verdict. Whenever you stand before God, here's what could be. Whenever you stand before God, it could be where God looks at you and He looks at your record, and instead of saying guilty, He says righteous. Now, how does that happen? Well, the Bible says, through the blood of Jesus Christ, let me read that verse to you again, being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. The Bible calls Jesus the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. The Bible says He purchased us with His blood. So through the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, our verdict can be changed. Instead of a guilty verdict, it could be a, not just innocent, but righteous. And when that happens, we call it justified. Apart from Jesus Christ, sinful man is without hope. We have no hope. Jesus Christ is our advocate or our lawyer. If we were picturing a court here, and you picture God as the judge, you picture me as the guilty man who I very much am, but picture Jesus Christ standing in the middle as our advocate, our lawyer, the one who represents me to God, the one who represents God to me, the one who not only is our lawyer, but who is also our substitute. The one who died on the cross and shed his blood so now he can stand between a sinful man and a holy God and apply his blood to my record. And so when God looks at me, now God doesn't see my sin because it's been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, but now he sees Jesus Christ's righteousness, and that action is called justified. We can only be in the presence of a holy God when we are declared righteous. Not just forgiven. You can't just say, okay, you're forgiven. Try that with your credit card, right? No, don't try it. It won't work. But try calling up your credit card and saying, I know I've run up my credit card and it's at its max level, but I came across this Bible word called forgiveness. Would you just forgive me for it? Would you just make it all go away? Just take it off my record? Now, I know there's credit counseling services and things like that can help pull that down. That messes up my whole illustration, so forget about those, right? But you can't just call your credit card and say, well, you just forgive it. But if you said, listen, I don't have the money to pay for this, but my rich uncle does, and he wants to pay for it for me, and they'll say, fine, what's his number? What's his credit card number? What's his checking account number? He pays for it. It's done. You can't just make it go away. It's got to be paid for. See, when Jesus died on the cross, paid the price for our sins, he paid for our sins. So sins aren't just taken away and nothing done about, that they had to be paid for. So it's whenever you're standing before God, it's not just that word forgiven, although forgiven is part of it. It's not just saying innocent, not just saying you're good enough, not just better than somebody else. But we can only be in the presence of a holy God when we are declared, now get this, righteous. When you are declared righteous, then you can stand in the presence of a holy God. Then you can go to heaven. But you can't make yourself righteous. I can't make myself righteous. How much good, think about this. Those of you that know me better, you know the truth here. How much good would I have to do to make myself righteous? How much good would I have to do to cancel out all the bad that I've ever done? Impossible. There is no way I can't take it back. I can't take back the lies. I can't take back the time I stole the little 3-ounce glue from TGNY. Still feeling a little guilt about that. It was an accident, actually, but I still stole it. You're like, how did he steal it on an accident? I better tell you the story. We were in TGNY. How many remember that one? And we were buying school supplies. I was holding it in my hand. It was my own special glue. Glue was special when you're in kindergarten. You not only can put stuff together with it, but you can eat it for snacks. It just goes a long way. And I wanted to hold it. It was my glue. It was a cute little glue bottle. It was Elmer's glue with that funny-looking yellow cow on the front of it, or blue. I don't remember the color of the cow now. But I got to hold it. I got tired of holding it, so I put it in my pocket. My mom checked out. I forgot it was in my pocket. And we got home and I found it. I don't know that I remember telling her. I thought I was going to get really bad trouble. So technically I stole it. I think the statute of limitations is up. I should be okay. But I'm guilty. I'm guilty of sin. What would it take to make me righteous? Not undoing the sin. It's got to be somebody paying the price for that sin. And that's what Jesus did. Imagine standing before God now as your judge, with Jesus by your side as your lawyer, and God declaring you righteous. Can you just fast forward in your mind to that day? I mean, just think about it for a minute. I can't imagine what God is going to look like there. The Bible talks about him on his throne and all. It's just an amazing thought. I just can't comprehend. But can you imagine being there? The God of the universe, and he is standing there or sitting on his throne, and you are standing before him, but I promise you, We're not going to be standing. In His presence, we will be kneeling. The Bible says, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess Jesus Christ as Lord. We'll be kneeling in His presence. But now it's different. Because not only is God there on His throne, and not only am I here as a sinful man, but Jesus Christ is standing in the middle, and He's there as my lawyer. And because of what Jesus did on the cross, and because I've accepted Him as my Savior, now God says, righteous. What an amazing thought that is. What a different thought. Instead of Him saying, guilty for my sin, now He's looking at me through the blood of Jesus Christ, and He's saying, righteous. What a different outcome that is completely. In spite of your sins, in spite of your lies, in spite of your lustful thoughts, justification is not God saying you're better than the bad people in the world. It's God saying that you are righteous. Justification is not just being forgiven of wrong. It's God seeing you as righteous, like Jesus is righteous. See, justification isn't just a blank sheet. You can probably see words through that because I'm holding it up to the light. It's not just the blank sheet, but justification is when God looks at your sinful record and He sees the perfection of Jesus Christ written there instead of your sinful record. Now, the process of that happening is called imputation, where He imputes His righteousness onto your record. But whenever that is done, God can look at you and say, justified. It's God seeing you for who Jesus is instead of who you are. And we're justified by His blood. Let me help you understand that just a little bit. God seeing you for who Jesus is instead of who you are. I graduated from high school in the early 90s. For the next 6 years or so, Michael Jordan was the best basketball player playing the sport. I still think he's the best basketball player ever. Some people say, oh no, it's LeBron James, and I think you just grew up in the wrong generation. What if you're out playing basketball, you're maybe out in the park or in the gym, somewhere you're playing, and Michael Jordan was to come up, who I think, greatest basketball player of all time. And he's to come up to you, and he says to you, look, I've been watching you play. And not only are you better than that guy, and you're better than that guy, and you're better than those guys, but you are undoubtedly the greatest player who has ever played this game of basketball. All right? That just made my day right there. Whew, I feel good. Now, what would happen? See, here's what he's saying. Not only are you better than that person or that person or that person, you are the best. Now, we know that's impossible. I might be better than a fifth grader. Maybe. I might be better than you. I don't know. Probably not. But for somebody to come to me and say, you are the absolute best, you are a perfect basketball player, I know that to be impossible. When God comes and says, because my Son Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, He never sinned, He shed His righteous blood, and He died on the cross, listen to this, and He tells you this, because of all that, I no longer see you as a sinner. Instead, I see you as a righteous person, not just better than that person, not just better than that person, not just better than you used to be, but I see you as a 100% righteous person because you accepted my righteous Son's sacrifice on the cross. Instead of trusting yourself, you are now righteous. That is justification. It's me being guilty, deserving punishment for my sins, but Jesus dying on the cross, shedding His blood, paying the price for my sins, and God looking at me now and saying, you are righteous. That's the only reason we can go to heaven. Because of His righteousness. Because of His blood. Because of justification. Really quickly, there was a man in the Old Testament, his name was Naaman. Two A's, I think it should be Amen. But we'll just call him Naaman. And he was what the Bible calls a leper. A leper was one who had a terrible disease. It would destroy his body. Eventually, he would die early. Naaman heard about the man of God, the prophet in Israel, that he could cure leprosy. Now, the Bible, leprosy was a picture of sin. And so we see the picture played out so well. Naaman leaves Syria and goes down to Israel. He seeks out the man of God. The prophet Elisha says, yes, I can heal you of this leprosy. You've got to go down to the river, the Jordan River, and you've got to dip yourself in the river 7 times. If you will do that, you will be healed. Naaman says, that's dumb. I'm not going to do that. He said, there's cleaner rivers, there's better rivers, there's more wonderful places where I could go where I'm from. I'm not going down to your stupid river, the Jordan River, and dipping myself 7 times. He left. He went away in a rage, but he had a change of mind. He came back. He came to the river, and the leper, Naaman, whose skin was very, very ill, body was coming apart, who was going to die an early death, and he said, okay, I'm not going to do my own thing. I'll do what the preacher says. And he went down, he dipped 7 times. When he came up out of the water the 7th time, the Bible says, not only was he better, but his skin was like that of a newborn baby. What a great picture of justification. Not only just a little bit better, but completely healed. There was a man in the New Testament, I'll finish with this, Matthew chapter 8, verse 2, the Bible says, behold, there came a leper and worshipped him. A leper comes to Jesus and says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. Listen to this next phrase, we're done. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now, when we're talking about sin, that's all we need to do. Come to Jesus and say, listen, I'm a sinner. I'm going to trust you completely for forgiveness. And then God justifies you. And he can do that because of the price Jesus paid when he died on the cross. Jesus wants to justify you just like he healed the leper, so that there's no trace of your sin. So that not only are you better than you were, but you're completely forgiven. So that when you die, you can stand before God justified. Just as if I'd never sinned, just as if I had Christ's righteousness. Father, I pray that you would help us to understand the truth just a little bit better of justification. Thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, and he died on that cross, and he shed his blood so that sinful people like me can be saved, so we can be justified. So that you can look at my record and say, not only is he free of guilt, but he is righteous. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here this morning who's not trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would do that today.